He whinnied quietly as Susan led him into an empty stall next to himself. "I'm sure you two know each other," she said. She'd never expected it to work, but it had to, didn't it? Time was something that happened to other people, wasn't it? She slipped into the house.
"No, I cannot be bidden. I cannot be forced. I will only do that which I know to be right."
Susan crept along behind the shelves of lifetimers. No one noticed her. When you are watching death fight, you don't notice shadows in the background. They'd never told her about this. Parents never do. Your father could be death's apprentice and your mother death's adopted daughter, but that's just fine detail when they become parents. Parents were never young. They were merely waiting to become parents. Susan reached the end of the shelves. Death was standing over her father. She corrected herself, the boy who would be her father. Three red marks burned on his cheek where death had struck him. Susan raised a hand to the pale marks on her own face.
"But that's not how heredity works, at least the normal kind."
Her mother, the girl who would become her mother, was pressed against a pillar. She had actually improved with age, Susan thought. Her dress sense certainly had. And she mentally shook herself. Fashion comments, now. Death stood over Mort, sword in one hand and Mort's own lifetimer in the other.
"You don't know how sorry this makes me," he said.
"I might," said Mort.
Death looked up and looked straight at Susan. His eye sockets flared blue for a moment. Susan tried to press herself into the shadows. He looked back down at Mort for a moment, and then at Isabel, and then back at Susan, and then back down at Mort, and laughed, and turned the hourglass over and snapped his fingers. Mort vanished with a small pop of imploding air. So did Isabel and the others. It was suddenly very quiet. Death put the hourglass down very carefully on the table and looked at the ceiling for a while and then said,
"Albert?"
Albert appeared from behind a pillar.
"Would you be so good as to make me a cup of tea, please?"
"Yes, master. You sorted him out right enough."
"Thank you."
Albert scurried off in the direction of the kitchen. Once again, there was the closest thing there could ever be to silence in the room of lifetimers.
"You'd better come out."
Susan did so, and stood before the ultimate reality. Death was 7 feet tall. He looked taller. Susan had vague memories of a figure carrying her on its shoulders through the huge dark rooms, but in memory it had been a human figure. Bony, but human in a way that she was certain of, but couldn't quite define. This wasn't human. It was tall and haughty and terrible. He might unbend enough to bend the rules, Susan thought, but that doesn't make him human. This is the keeper of the gate of the world, immortal by definition, the end of everything. He is my grandfather. Will be, anyway. Is, was. But there was the thing in the apple tree. Her mind kept swinging back to that. You looked up at the figure and thought about the tree. It was almost impossible to keep both images in one mind.
"Well, well, well. You have a lot of your mother about you," said Death. "And your father."
"How did you know who I am?" said Susan.
"I have a unique memory."
"How can you remember me? I haven't even been conceived yet."
"I did say unique. Your name is..."
"Susan, but..."
"Susan?" said Death bitterly. "They really wanted to make sure, didn't they?"
He sat down in his chair, steepled his fingers and looked at Susan over the top of them. She looked back, matching stare for stare.
"Tell me," said Death after a while, "was I, will I be, am I a good grandfather?"
Susan bit her lip thoughtfully.
"If I tell you, won't that be a paradox?"
"Not for us."
"Well, you've got bony knees."
Death stared at her.
"Bony knees?"
Sorry.
"You came here to tell me that?"
"You've gone missing, back there. I'm having to do the duty. Albert is very worried. I came here to find things out. I didn't know my father worked for you."
"He was very bad at it."
"What have you done with him?"
"They're safe for now. I'm glad it's over. Having people around was beginning to affect my..."